Make your way to your seat. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 14. The book of Romans, chapter 14. Let me just mention, I was thinking as I was praying, you know, Jennifer's request for someone to be able to get the gospel to this individual that she mentioned. Was it Robert? Is that right? And I got to thinking about that. You know, there's maybe people that we have contact with that somebody's praying that they would have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And so I want you to be praying for those who are going to be involved in specific evangelism in our church. And so we will be having a meeting next Sunday evening at 5:15, I believe, is what Pastor Nathan and I decided on. And so if you would still like to sign up to be a part of that, you're always welcome to sign up for that. And I want to encourage you to do so. We've been talking about the will of God. And the will of God is God's sovereign decree, God's sovereign purpose in our lives. And we also pointed out the fact that, that being the case, that God has given us specific things in His Word. We can know for a fact when we go to the Bible that whatever it says is so. You know, I was reading Jeremiah. I've been reading Jeremiah in my own Bible reading, and I've come across where Jeremiah is speaking to the people of Israel, and they were not doing what God said to do. And as a result, there was consequence for that. And so we do need to understand the fact that God does tell us specifically things. Now, last week, we started talking about some of the things that are not specifically taught in the Bible, but yet we do have principles. And we saw that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, that one of those principles is found in the book of Exodus, where he, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. And if you remember, he talked about coveting specific things, donkeys and wives and so forth. And not to covet those things. Now, in a sense, in that particular verse, there's a principle because, or anything. So, in other words, that principle of coveting applies to anything that doesn't belong to us. We saw in the case of David and Goliath, David was fighting against Goliath. And the principle we saw there, the precepts have to do with the circumstances, the actual events, what took place. But the principle, did anybody remember what that principle was? I'm making you think now. Oh, he stopped me, asked me a question. What is the principle that we saw last week with David and Goliath? Okay. All right, so the 10-foot goons that come in our way. Now, really, God is able to defeat the giants in our lives, things that seem so overwhelming. We saw that Jesus gave a principle, and that is that that we should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The first of those refer to the first four Ten Commandments, the last loving your neighbors yourself referred to the rest of the Ten Commandments. So and that's why when you go to the Ten Commandments, they can be divided into two sections. Our relationship to God, our relationship with others. Now I want to start getting into some of these principles that can govern our lives. And I'm going to just spend tonight our time on one principle. And I've entitled it, The Principle of Faith. The Principle of Faith. Now, this can be a very subjective thing. But if we understand it properly, it can also be a very helpful thing. Romans chapter 12. 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And he that doubteth, now he's talking about eating certain things, if you notice there. In verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. But then he brings up the question, hast thou faith? And it, have it to thyself before God. So we're dealing with, okay, are we to trust God? Yes or no? Okay, of course the answer is yes. No, I can't imagine any of you would say, no, we should not trust God. But we are to trust God. Now, he says in verse 22, have it to thyself before God. And happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth, okay, now to doubt is to not have faith. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat. And again, he's talking about in the specific case of eating certain food. But if you have doubt in what you're eating, it says that because he eateth not of faith. So obviously the opposite of faith is doubt. And whatsoever is not of faith is what? Okay, so this is a true statement. We find here in the scripture that we are to live by this principle of faith. And we should not condemn ourselves by allowing something that is not definitely, we do not have definite faith that it's the right thing to do. Now, Bob Jones Sr., in his practical way of explaining things, would talk about his wife. I think it was his wife. And his wife would say, honey, is this shirt dirty? And and he would answer and say, well, if you think it's dirty, it's dirty. If you're not able to say, I know it's clean, it's dirty. And he says that whatsoever is not of faith is something that we should ask ourselves, okay, so here is something in life that we need to address. Be nice if there was a chapter and verse that told us in the Word of God that this is what we should do or not do, because that would remove all doubt, right? So we don't say, does God want me to pray? We never should ever ask that question, because the answer is, duh, yes, pray. Men ought always to pray. But when God says to do something, we can be sure it's true. But there's a lot of things in life that do not have a clear answer. And so we're wondering ourselves, okay, should we do this or should we not do it? Now, the very fact that you would ask, should I or should I not, could be because you are not confident you should do it. Now, it's interesting because he says there in verse 22, happy is, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he allows. Now, how could I condemn myself in something that I allow? What it would be is if, okay, I'm not sure I should do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. So what you have now done is you have not been able to do it with sure confidence. And if you are not able to do it in sure confidence, that is doubt. So a principle that we always want to apply to our lives is, okay, if I'm not sure it's right, don't do it. You know, Patch the Pirate would, his children's songs. And one of the songs was, if you doubt it, don't do it. Take time to pray and think through it. You know, he did this song, you know. And the interesting thing is if I doubt and I do it anyway, what have I done? I've gone against my conscience. I've gone against that which I should not have done. Now, some people say, well, that's silly. You know, because there's a lot of things you don't know about. Well, the fact is, there are some things that we can know about if we would seek the Lord. But this brings us down to this issue of conscience. And the Scripture tells us that we need to be very careful about our conscience. So, and this is why, if you go over to the book of 1 John chapter 3, and I want you to see this in 1 John chapter 3. And now notice what it tells us here in verse 20. If our heart condemn us. All right, so our heart condemns us. And yet, sometimes our heart condemns us, and it doesn't need to condemn us. Now, something's greater than our heart, and that is God. And God is greater than our heart. Now, verse 21, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So there's your faith. So we need to make sure what we are doing, we are sure that God would want us to do that. And if we're not sure God wants us to do that, we're going to find ourselves acting out of doubt and not out of faith. So that begs the question, okay, what about, so should we live by our conscience? Okay? So should we do things that we think is okay? And should we not do things we don't think is okay? Well, this is why we have to understand that there is a basic truth in Scripture as to the way the conscience operates. If you go over to the book of Romans, chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, verse 15, tells us the work of the conscience. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 15, which tells us that God, now he's talking about the law, he shows the work of the law written in their hearts. There's the word, conscience. What is a conscience? A conscience is to know with. So in other words, God has put within every individual this ability to know if something is right or something is wrong. And what does the conscience do? In verse 15, their conscience bears witness. Okay? So when I'm watching a K-State football game, I was watching them against Oklahoma. Brother Carsey's yesterday was more than thrilled that Oklahoma beat K-State the other day. You know, and it's interesting that I'm watching this game, and I watched it on television. So what am I doing? Okay, so am I playing the game? So let's say, was it Knowles that ran, 99 yards at the end for a touchdown? And what am I doing? I'm saying, yes! And OU is going, no! What we were doing
was bearing witness. We were not playing the game. We were not acting out the game. All we were doing was pointing out the good or the bad. Well, that's the work of the conscience. And the conscience is trying to communicate to us if something is, as it says there in verse 15, it says the meanwhile accusing. So when the conscience sees that, when we do something that we should not do, the conscience is kind of the person pointing the finger. It's your fault. Bad thing. You should not have done that. Now that's what the conscience does. Now, on the other hand, it says there in verse 15 that though it may be accusing, it also can be excusing, which means, yes, you did right. And so, happy is the man that doesn't do that which is against the conscience. And we find that, however, the conscience is not always dependable. And this is why we ask the question, should we live according to conscience? We're talking about God's will. So some people say, well, I live according to my conscience. And if it seems right, I do it. And if it doesn't seem right, I don't do it. Well, the problem with that is sometimes you can do wrong things thinking you've done the right thing. Sometimes, as we read in 1 John, you can be doing the right thing and your conscience makes you feel like you're doing the wrong thing. Now, it's interesting, if you go over to chapter 9 of Romans, okay, Romans chapter 9, and I find this been very interesting. He says in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness. How? In the Holy Ghost. That I have great heaviness. And I would, basically what Paul is saying here, I'd rather go to hell than for my brethren than to go to heaven without my brethren. Now, we wonder why Paul was so effective in evangelism. This was a conviction of his. But the point I'm trying to make here is this, that the conscience will bear witness in conjunction to the Holy Ghost. And so we look at the Holy Ghost. Now, when we consider the work of the Holy Ghost, now we mentioned Sunday morning that the Holy Spirit. You staying with me? I'm just wanting you to follow this. Okay. The Holy Spirit, when we get saved, does some things. I mentioned He baptizes us into the body of Christ. We mentioned that He indwells us. We also said that He seals us. All right? Well, also, what He does is the Holy Spirit will guide us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we see in John chapter 16, verse 13, you can write this down if you want. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, and whatsoever He shall hear that He will speak, He will show you things. So what's interesting is now for a Christian. Now, we were all born with a conscience, but when we accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit also dwells within us, and He starts working in conjunction with the conscience. Now, it is also interesting, if you go over to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Now, in Acts chapter 26, this is before Paul was saved. In Acts 26 and verse 9. He says, I very thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now think about it. Paul thought he was doing the right thing by attacking Christians. But when he got saved, the Holy Spirit came, and we saw there in Romans chapter 9, now his what he thinks is guided by the Holy Ghost. So how can we know, and this is a question we have to ask ourselves, how can we know if we're thinking right? If we are making right decisions regarding God's will? How would we know? How do we know it's the Holy Spirit and not our own selfish impulses? Let me give you a verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, 21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What is that referring to? So we now have a more sure word, this is 2 Peter 1, more sure word of prophecy. Now, that tells us a couple of things. Number one, the Holy Spirit that Jesus allowed to come after he ascended into heaven, he is the one who wrote the Scriptures. Of course, the Scriptures were written in the Old Testament as well. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, here's somebody in their conscience. They think it's okay to lie, because after all, if I don't lie, I'm going to get in trouble and I could lose my family's reputation. What does God's word say? Thou shalt not lie. So therefore, in my conscience, I may think it makes sense to lie. But God's word says, no, that's wrong. So, it's possible to think I'm doing the right thing when in reality I'm contradicting something in God's Word. And, I may be thinking I'm keeping the speed limit, but when the policeman pulls me over, he may say, look at that speed sign. I had that happen before. He said, do you know what the speed limit is? Well, I'm not sure, officer. And he said, well, it's right there. Right there. And I was going like 10 miles over the speed limit. And for the sake of my wife, it wasn't yesterday when I was gone. All right. But, here is the thing. Here's the thing. Even though I may have thought I was doing the right thing, I was doing the wrong thing. So the check and balance between what is right and what is wrong has to do with what does God's Word say. Now, obviously, if God's Word doesn't say anything about it, then sometimes the Holy Spirit of God, and this is a very unique thing, and I'm not trying to be mystical here, but sometimes the Spirit of God just kind of says, I don't feel right about that. So, as a result of that, we have to be careful. Now, why is it that we have to be careful that we stay into the Holy Ghost? Well, if you go over to the book of 1 Corinthians 8, because there is such a thing as an uneducated conscience. Because sometimes I might think I'm doing the right thing when I'm doing the wrong thing, or sometimes I might think I'm doing the wrong thing when I'm really doing the right thing. Now, here in 1 Corinthians 8, in verse 1, now is touching things offered unto idols, we're told in verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man knowledge. And we won't go into that right now. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. Their conscience being weak. So in other words, this is a weak conscience. You know, and sometimes it may be okay to do something, but because my conscience has kind of, you know, it could be that I grew up thinking that, you know, as one writer was talking about how you can have to establish convictions, he said, even to this day, I buy a Ford, I feel convicted over it because my dad thought Fords were terrible. And it was one of those things I was trained as a child that this is a bad thing. But there's nothing evil about owning a Ford. All right? May not be wise. It may not be the best vehicle. But nonetheless, you know, there's nothing about that. So it is possible for a person to be bothered over something that he doesn't need to be bothered over. And it's an overly sensitive conscience because it's uninformed. And that's why he talks about that in verse 13. If meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while flesh while the world standeth. In other words, you know, we don't want to go out of our way to try to get somebody to do something that goes against their conscience. So, I was talking to someone recently. We were talking about short sleeve shirts, you know. So what if someone says a short sleeve shirt is evil? And they really believe that. The last thing I'd want to do is to say, oh, just wear it anyway. You're dumb. You don't know what you're talking about. So the fact is, because of an uninformed conscience, they may do the wrong thing. There's a second kind of conscience. It's called the defiled conscience. In verse 7, their conscience being weak is defiled. Now here's what happens. When somebody goes against their conscience, even if there is nothing wrong in itself, because whatsoever is not of faith is what? So in other words, I have now said, fooey on you, God, I'm going to do it my way. And when you defile your conscience, then you put yourself in a situation where you will learn to ignore it. Do you see what I'm saying? You never want to ignore if God is speaking to you. So until you know for sure it's okay, it's best to not do it. If you doubt it, don't do it until you know for sure it's okay to do it. Why? Because there is such a thing as a seared conscience. And if you go over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, here he talks about in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, let me get over there, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I just want you to see this. It tells us in verse 2 that in the last days men will speak lies, verse 2, in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared. And it talks about with a hot iron. And of course, the whole idea of that is if you burn yourself with a hot iron, it hurts. But what happens after it quits hurting? You start forming a callus. And the callus sometimes isn't as sensitive as the regular skin. See, and the idea behind this is that a person who learns to go against what in his mind is wrong, whether it's wrong or not, we could debate that. But whether it's wrong, if he goes against that, he can get to the point where he just ignores it. Now, in the standpoint of the Holy Spirit, God says, now stay with me on this. In the standpoint of the Holy Spirit, the same thing is said, that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and we can quench the Holy Spirit. To grieve the Holy Spirit is to say no to Him. To quench the Holy Spirit is to... to grieve has to do with sinning, and quenching has to do with saying no to Him. And we can get to the point where we can just totally ignore him. So, the scripture tells us that we need to be careful about this. Now, on the other hand, there is such a thing as a clear conscience. And I just want you to see a couple things. And I'm not going to have you turn there, but you can write this down. We can, according to Acts chapter 24, talks about, I exercise, Paul says, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and a conscience void of offense toward men. So when a person basically says, okay, I am good with God. Now, could we say, God doesn't care if I lie? Now, who would say such a thing? Probably somebody who wants to lie. And somebody who wouldn't believe the Bible. But if they believed the Bible, they would know, no, it's not right to lie. So here we are as Christians, and we say, okay, I'm tempted to lie, but I'm not going to do it because I want a clear conscience between me and God. Isn't that what Joseph did when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife? He says, how can I do this offense before God? So a clear conscience toward God is something that we are looking for. And the same thing could be said regarding a clear conscience toward men. That, you know, I can be sure that I am right with others. But particularly when we have the idea of knowing God's will, we have to ask ourselves this question. Am I good with God on this? Now, before you say yes, find out what the Bible says about it. Or before you say no, find out what the Bible says about it. And if I can, in good conscience, do what I do, I'm on my way to at least trying to understand God's will. Now, sometimes someone says, well, I'm good with what I'm doing. Okay, well, let me take the Bible and show you some verses. And I show them some verses. Ah, I don't believe that. Well, wait a minute. Is that because it doesn't say that? Or is it because you don't want to accept that? And the way that we can be sure that we are doing what God wants us to do is to apply this principle of faith. Because whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Happy is the man that can before God say, okay, there's nothing between me and my Savior. Now, Lord, I ask that you would guide and direct. Help us, Lord, as we try to live this principle of faith. Lord, we know that there's so many things in your word that tells us that we need to trust you. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to never do anything that in our mind is wrong. And Father, give us the grace to understand if it's wrong or not through your scripture, through good counsel, or whatever it might be. But Lord, let us never compromise our convictions to you. Now, Lord, guide and direct us. Help us to live by this one principle, that if we doubt it, we're not going to do it. And we'll trust you in what you say in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.